Hey, Magic Makers, listen up. If you are done overcomplicating getting healthy, then I have something for you. My latest mini course, The Healthy Living Fundamentals, will help you to lead a simple, healthy life without giving up the foods that you love. All right, I see the eye rolls. Okay, maybe I hear the eye rolls. So let's think about it. How many of you have this effed up relationship with your body so that you go off and you're trying to find the hardest thing you can do to prove to yourself that you got this, that you are this badass? Well, hint, hint, you are this badass. So if you're done trying to chase your tail, trying to string 75 hard days together, you're done always feeling hungry, eating less calories than you need to survive on, and if you feel that you have to be perfect to get results, this mini course has your name all over it. The Healthy Living Fundamentals mini course, I spill all the beans, giving you simple strategies to help you become more consistent with your nutrition. All you got to do is go to the link in my bio and boom, you have it. And it will be 5 awesome days where you get a breakdown of how to do it, plus action strategies to add it to your lifestyle right now. Go over, grab it in the show notes, and good luck.
Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, Magic Makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show.
Magic Makers, we took a little bit of a detour today, and I spoke with Miss Judy Burkle, and what we talked about is something that isn't really 100% weight loss related, but I feel it needed to be spoken about because I have a number of clients who are in the thick of this. They are dealing with aging parents, taking care of them, making sure, you know, all their needs are being met, and they are legit putting themselves on the back burner. And I was like, how do I help them, right? I take on this stuff. And there's certain things that I know I can easily say, oh, girl, have you ever thought about blah, 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 blah? And other times I'm like, I got nothing for you. I got to bring in an expert here. And today was that day. I needed to bring in an expert. And Judy is right there with you. She is not only she's a psychologist, but she's also dealt in the world of dealing between government agencies, hospitals, you, lawyers. How do you manage your parents when they get to that point where they can't care for themselves? And we talked a lot about, you know, how do you set up boundaries? How do you kind of look for things to know, you know, are your parents declining in a way that they can't really take care of themselves? You know, we talked about how our parents can hide a lot of things in a phone call, you know, especially if, you know, I know for me, my parents live in Florida. I live in Boston. So I might, you know, my mom might be like, just talking to me and she sounds really good, but she's sitting in a shit show right now. And how do I help them from afar? So we talked about so many different things. And if you're going through this, or if you're like, hey, my parents are getting up there, and how do I start to like start the conversation to best support them? Please take a listen. And if you're in this, please reach out to me. Let me know, because I don't know, I feel this pull that there's more here. Right? There's more. This is going to be a bigger thing. And there needs to be more advocacy. There needs to be more support. There needs to be more places that people can go to just be like, I'm in the shit and I want to get out of it. And I don't know who to talk to, where to turn, what supports out there, what agencies are out there. So have a listen to Judy's call. And, you know, please know I'm putting my name in the hat if you need help and support. All right, listen in and let me know what you think.
This week's iTunes review is brought to you by Jackie O. Jazz Hands. She writes, a great, funny podcast about real topics we all struggle with. Kim gives great advice and support to people to live their best life. That just fills my heart. Thank you so much for taking the time to write me that 5-star review. And for those of you who have yet to leave that 5-star review, all you have to do is go on to iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast and do the same thing, and I will read it on the air. So thank you so much, Jackie O. Jazz Hands. It fills me up when I get read those reviews from the heart. Enjoy the podcast.
Magic makers. Okay, so today we're doing a little bit of a deviation. We are talking with Miss Judy Burkle today about how do we care for our aging parents? And I wanted to have this conversation because let's just face it, we ain't getting any younger. Our parents ain't getting any younger. And I was at an event probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was talking about Alzheimer's, dementia, and all of the memory diseases that are rapidly basically becoming to the forefront of our vocabulary. And at some point, I'm going to be able to rattle off all the various brain things that are happening to our aging parents, family members. And I wanted to talk with someone because I see it in my own family of the burden, the stress that taking care of aging parents, or maybe you've inherited aunts, uncles, and whatever, and the stress we take on, and we literally, it's crushing us. And I wanted to talk with someone to say, how do you find the balance, right, between living your life and making sure their end of life, their care is in a way that you want it to be decent and humane? So welcome to the show, Judy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me so much, Kim. I'm so thankful to be here.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying not to date this, but I have to date it because it's in recent memory. So yesterday was the longest day. And every year on the longest day, a good friend of ours has a big charity event for Alzheimer's. And there was, I want to say there's about 100 people there. And he goes, how many people in here knows at least one person, relative, friend, friend of a friend, coworker that has experienced someone with some type of Alzheimer type disease? I want to say 3 people didn't raise their hand.
Right.
It was like ridiculous how and it blew my mind because it's like the same, if you ask the same question about cancer, and how many people would have raised their hand and it would have been about the same, like 3 people would have been like, oh, I don't know anybody who's ever had cancer. Right. And it just blew my mind. Cause I think about maybe like 30 years ago was when my grandfather had Alzheimer's, but he was 70.
Right. Right. Yep.
And you know, by that time, you know, it was like, yeah, you know, at that age, you know, your memory should be going.
Yes. And that's common, the hardening of the arteries and such, you know, that's not a dementia. That's sometimes, you know, that's just kind of something that maybe happens as we get older, depending, but that's not typically dementia. It could be vascular dementia if it gets too progressive, but you're right. It is so pervasive in the world now.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, so basically what I'm seeing, and I'm sure, you know, this is your business, so you clearly saw it, is that you see that it's happening, one, younger and younger.
Yes.
And you see these families like, shit, what do I do?
Right. Right. It turns your life upside down, completely upside down. Absolutely.
So for, you know, for someone who, you know, it's okay. Cause I think to myself, I'm forgetful. So I think to myself, you know, eventually at some point, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, they're more and more forgetful. At what point do you kind of start to say to yourself, they might need, you know, some help?
Right. That is a great question, because just forgetting, like a word, every once in a while. That's very okay, very normal. It's a sign we're probably a little too stressed, but in general, that happens to all of us. It's when you get in the car and you forget what to do next.
Right.
It's when you notice that, or you notice your mom calling you from somewhere and she doesn't remember how to get home. Or you notice things like she hasn't showered in a week when she used to be like
all prim and proper.
All prim and proper. Or you go over and visit your parents and you look in the refrigerator and all the food is rotten.
Mm.
So these are the things when you start to scratch your head and go, something's going on. But, you know, an elderly person kind of, you know, forgetting a little bit here, forgetting a little bit, you know, like forgetting like something small, you know, but if they're habitually like not making payments on their electricity when they used to be so good about it, those are when you get really concerned.
Right. And so, you know, it's more about just paying attention, not to like, you know, like you said, forgetting a word. I forget a word all the time. But thanks. It's more about the bigger things. So it's more like right. The personal hygiene things, the day-to-day things that people people forget. And so now, you know, I see mom, dad, you know, these things are happening regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know. How do I determine, right? Do I, you know, hire someone that helps out? Do they go somewhere? Do I move in with them? Do they move in with me? Like, how do I start to kind of like, mm-hmm. you know that they need support, but mm-hmm. how do I know what the right support is?
Mm-hmm. That is such just such a great question. So the first thing I would suggest is let's start gently. You know, go to your parents' house. So many times, it's been amazing to me. Our parents are the people we love who are aging and have this going on. They have a sense that something's wrong and they're hiding and they don't want.
They are great hiders.
And they are. And so it's always been amazing to me how that can happen when they have a cognitive problem, right? So you want to go and just observe. Pay attention. Like I said, you know, if you're worried about their eating, just say, hey, mom or dad, can I go get a snack in the refrigerator? And then just take a look around.
Right.
What's going on in the kitchen? And then just bring up a scenario that is maybe not related to them specifically about like the neighbor down the street.
Gotcha.
Cousin Joe. You know, they had some health problems. You know, what do you think about that? And just kind of get where they are with that.
Right.
And then after it's becoming very apparent through the conversation, just say, you know, mom, I would love to go with you to your next doctor's appointment. When is that going to be? And so make sure you attend the doctor's appointment. And you might want to prepare a list ahead of time of
all your questions,
concerns.
Yeah.
And find a way through the visit to be able to address the concerns, maybe in front of your parent, maybe not in front of your parent. It's just, but the doctor needs to know so they can do a medical workup, because there are some cases that it's an imbalance of something that needs to be righted just right. to see. And then if it is in fact a dementia, there's going to be another step that needs to be taken to visit a neurologist.
Right.
And so then you're going to need to know the type of dementia. And then there are some medicines you can take that will slow down the progression.
Right.
But it requires a doctor's appointment, but it's so important to go with your loved one just so you can hear what they're saying. Because again, similar to the hiding, you know, if you don't go with your parents or you don't send someone who you trust that can report back, you're probably not going to hear the whole story.
Oh, 100%. I'm laughing because like everything you just described, you know, it's kind of like a telephone, you know, like I tell you, right. By the 100th person, it's like purple cows are walking down the street.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
So on that point, so now at what point for your parents do I, given all the privacy laws, that doctor patient confidentiality and all of that magical stuff, at what point do I suggest to my parents, you know, I should have, I'm not a lawyer, you probably know the terminology, but at what point do I have that piece of paper that says, whatever you tell her, you can tell me?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, hopefully before this doctor's appointment.
Clearly.
It's called a power of attorney.
Okay.
And so many of our aging parents have gone to the attorney and they've had it written up, their advance directive, which names a medical power of attorney, hopefully. Okay. And you would want to make sure you have a copy of it and on you, you know, so right. If the doctor says, your mom, I don't have permission. Well, yeah, you actually do. So that bears the question, if your parents, you know, start today having that conversation of mom and dad, we just got to get out the medical power of attorney, take a look at it. If we don't have it, we need to get one.
Right.
And so just in that case, like an emergency happens, because it can happen in an instant.
Oh God. I mean, we're living in COVID times. Like I wonder how many people got caught, you know, one-footed without having all of the legal boxes checked.
It's a challenge. I've been there in the hospital when there haven't been, and it causes quite a stir. And so fortunately, each state has their own set of guidelines to appoint people if there is no paperwork in place. But the bottom line, though, is it might not be who you want.
Oh, 100%.
And so if you have that conversation early, then it's going to be somebody you want to help you. And so the idea of a medical power of attorney is like, for my parent, I'm not fulfilling my wishes. I'm fulfilling their wishes. And so that's why it would be important to have someone you trust to carry out your wishes.
So basically you're saying, you know, as we're having this conversation and if you're listening, you know, Judy's saying, if you haven't had this conversation with your parents,
right?
I'm not saying you got to stop the podcast and go call them, but, you know, it might be worth the next time you have a conversation with them to ask these questions. Like, I know my mom tells me a lot of stuff and I know she does have this stuff. And I'm like, I should really circle back with her, because I know she's just downloaded this information to me and I just kind of fluffed it off.
Mm-hmm. No, it's important that you have your copy.
Right.
You have your copy so that if an emergency happens, you have it, because the doctor is going to say, yeah, I can't talk to you. Well, yes, you can.
Right. Okay. So I have this paperwork. And so basically you can sit down and you can say, Dr. So-and-so, you know, I've gone to my parents' house and, you know, bathing or food or just, you know, the house is a hot mess or whatever it is, or she's, you know, they're forgetting where they're doing in the car, what can we do next? And so they'll basically walk you through kind of what their various steps are to determine what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, you'll find out there's stages of dementia. Mm-hmm. There's different kinds of dementia. Alzheimer's is the major form of dementia we hear about. And depending on what age you're diagnosed with, that depends. You know, unfortunately, if you're diagnosed early in life, it tends to be a lot quicker, a lot more difficult. You know, and so when you see much elderly person, it can take up to 10 years to progress through that process. There's vascular dementia, which is based on, you know, with folks that have had heart trouble, strokes. Mm. That looks different than an Alzheimer's dementia. And so there's all sorts of these different types of dementia. It'll be good to know, so you know what to expect. Right. Like, for instance, my dad had vascular dementia, so he never forgot who I was, but he forgot lots of other aspects of things.
Life, right.
And so it's just would be important to know the type.
Yeah, agreed. And so, so, you know, you go through all these steps, they come back and you have, you know, something as, you know, from the top to Alzheimer's down to, you know, a very, you know, the early stages of dementia. So as a potential caregiver, what do I, you know, who helps me to figure out what I need to do?
Well, I can.
Clearly, that's why we're on the phone.
Yeah. So I can. I have a coaching program that I do help people that are faced with these types of things. The social workers in the hospital, they're a good resource. Area Agency on Aging is another good resource. You know, talking to other people that have similar situations, those would be a great resource. If, you know, specifically to dementias, joining a caregiver support group,
yeah,
Area Agency on Aging, they will have a list of them, which is vital.
Yes. It's
so important because this is such a long thing. It can last 10 years. You know, you can feel very alone and have no idea what to do. And having a support group is just, could be a lifesaver for sure.
So I'm going to dig a little deeper. So, you know, you say being alone, what makes people feel that aloneness?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, oftentimes taking your loved one with dementia outside of the house, changing the routine is so difficult.
Yeah.
And so you need to stay home. And after they get to a certain point, they can't be left alone. Mm. It's very difficult to hire help, right? Because it causes behavioral problems. And so it just, the nature of the disease just lends itself to isolation. Mm. Sometimes the behaviors are embarrassing. Mm. And they don't want to go out in public because of that. There's still some shame about it. I don't know why, similar to mental illness, you know, don't want to know people to know, like this wonderful, strong man who was in charge of everything now has Alzheimer's, you know, out of respect for him. They don't really want to show that to the world. So those are all really some of the reasons that it might be very isolating to some.
Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So is it best that you start to, I guess, introduce help earlier? Mm-hmm. So that, like, as you say, you know, what was it? Schedules or routines. That was the word you were looking for. Mm-hmm. So that it's more ingrained in their routine versus kind of like, for them, feels like out of left field, you know, this new entity is into their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the earlier, the better. And I'm going to generalize again here, you know, that folks of that generation, that is so hard to accept help, and even like house cleaning.
Yeah.
You know, but that's such a good place.
It's pride. It's like, you're saying I can't clean my house.
right. And I'm like, throw money at that problem. I hate to do it.
Right.
So like suggesting, like if mom is taking dad who has taken care of dad who has dementia, but she always prides herself on having a clean house, but you know, she needs help taking care of her husband.
Right.
Hey, mom, why don't we just let me pay for a house cleaner, because I know, and start there, start gently, and then let her get used to that and say, okay, we're doing really good with this. What are your thoughts about if we hired somebody to come in to stay with dad so you could go get your hair done?
Right.
Or you could go play with the ladies at church, you know.
Or just sit in your car and be quiet.
or go sit in the car and do nothing, you know. You know, or sit at your house and take a nap.
Right.
You know, just whatever. Because the truth is 30% of all caregivers die before their loved one with the illness does. That's a lot.
Right. And I love where this conversation is turning, because I see the pressure that people put on themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, for some reason, the aging parents' needs are here, and then other, you know, priorities that are might be going on in your life. And then somewhere down here at the bottom of the list, you'll get to you.
Right, right. That's exactly correct. We always put ourselves on the back burner. A lot of times we feel like it's selfish.
Yes.
You know, if we take care of ourselves, that it's selfish, or I don't have enough money to hire anybody, or nobody can do it as well as I can. And so my suggestion is my statement to that is you cannot give your best self if we don't take care of ourselves first.
Absolutely.
And so that becomes a challenge. I'll be honest, you know, when money is a concern. So that's when we really investigate some social programs in their area that can help with that. Because there are some, we just got to look for them and apply for them. So,
yeah. And with just knowing from the experience that I've gone through, you would think, given that, you know, I can't remember the statistic. I think it's like every 10 minutes, someone turns 65, like some, you know, ridiculous number, that it would be easier to find these services given the proliferation of, you know, memory type diseases.
Right. I would totally agree. But our insurance programs are so behind on that. Specifically, I'm speaking about Medicare.
Right.
So Medicare does not. Okay. So standard Medicare, not the Advantage plans. I think the Advantage plans are working to do something different. I haven't heard of it yet. But standard, you know, old school Medicare does not pay for in-home care, like custodial care.
Right.
Like they'll send in home health, but you have to have a skilled need.
Versus just someone who's like needs someone to help them cook.
That's right. Yeah. Medicare doesn't pay for that.
Mm-mm. Right. Which you're like, they need to eat, but they'll pay for insure. So that's fine. You can drink chemicals, but we won't pay for someone to cook you a healthy meal.
Right.
Yeah. So that explains a lot of it. So if I'm someone, like you said, who I might be just living paycheck to paycheck and, you know, it's all I can do. I would love to hire someone to either clean or cook. I just don't have it in me. Mm-hmm. How do I still kind of put my oxygen mask on first?
Mm-hmm. So if we are living paycheck to paycheck, I would suggest absolutely looking into your state's Medicaid program. So oftentimes when we think of Medicaid, it is aid that we apply for through the state. We think of women and children, you know.
Right. We think of food stamps, right.
Food stamps. But there is an aspect of Medicaid is for people that need long-term care, nursing care, elderly. And so for many states, for all states, they pay for the nursing home portion of when folks can't pay for it. But there are lots of states, and probably all of them, we would just need to investigate, will pay for in-home care Medicaid to help you in the home.
Mm.
The idea is that you want to prevent nursing home care. It's cheaper for the state to pay for the care.
Oh my God. Nursing care. Yeah. I have a friend who had to put her mom into a place. And when she told me how much it cost, I almost passed out.
Right. It's expensive, but I'll be honest, in that may have to happen. And
No.
Yeah.
For sure. In her situation of how, like, her mom was a wanderer, and it was just, you know, no matter how many people they had in, you know, there was too many times she would escape. She was an escape artist.
Right.
And, you know, you're like, you couldn't go to the bathroom without worrying if, you know, would she escape?
Right. That's exactly right. And that's just one person can't take care of a person like that.
Right.
It requires a team.
And really? And if I'm the caregiver, that's stressful for me because I'm like, oh my God, I can't go to the bathroom, like, or, you know, God forbid you're changing the laundry or whatever. And you're just like keeping your fingers crossed all day long.
That's exactly correct. It is not doable by yourself. So many times we had to place our loved ones at a facility, but that doesn't mean you're not a caregiver anymore. It's just the custodial care of your loved one is done by
shifted,
someone else.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do you know? So we've covered a lot of ground today. I'm so pumped right now. This is what I really want to talk about. So we've talked about, okay, how do you know? And we cover that. We've talked about making sure you get that power of attorney so that you know, and you and your parents have that conversation, because I know that maybe they're like, over my dead body, will I go into a home?
Right.
Have that conversation, or even have the conversation of like, you can't live with me.
Right.
You know, it was like a Dear Abby-ish kind of thing. I don't even know if Dear Abby still exists, but it was one of those Dear Abby-ish things that I saw on Facebook, and a couple, their oldest or their youngest kid finished college, moved out, and the mother-in-law assumed that when the kids left, that they would move in with them.
Oh gosh.
And meanwhile, this was like never in all the years, you know, it takes 22 years for your kids to leave the nest.
Maybe.
Yeah. Ish. Yeah. Let's just say if they're on the fast track program. So it takes 22 years for your kids to leave the nest. And she never said in all those years, oh, and our retirement plan is to move in with you.
Mm.
Wow. And she's like, you know, now there's a big rift because she's like, oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you have to have that conversation of like, what is, you know, for if you're unable to live in your own home, what is the plan?
Right. That's so vital. It's so vital. And you followed up with, if you don't want to go into a nursing home, mom and dad, we got to talk about money. And where is the money?
Right.
And how do I access the money? And so I want to honor that, but we got to talk about, I need to know where the things are. And if they still won't do that, we have to honor that desire in them. And so many times throughout my career, and this is hard for people to hear sometimes, but adults have the right to make bad decisions.
Oh God, come on.
And so
we've all seen the bad decisions people have made.
Oh yeah. So if your parents refuse, you just say, okay, well, I'm here when an emergency happens, but these are my boundaries. This is what cannot happen. I love you and I will help up until this point.
But
we can't move in with us. I can't move in with you, but this is what I can do.
Oh, okay. You have to define what your boundaries are. And
mm-hmm.
And so now it's great when they're still firing on all cylinders.
Sure.
So now I'm going to take it to the next level. Mom and dad ain't firing on all cylinders. How do you still protect boundaries, right? Because it's a slippery slope, because it's like, mm-hmm. some days I have good days and some days I'm lucky if I remember it's Sunday.
So
how do I, because I know what my boundaries are. So how do I always kind of make sure I protect my boundaries? Because you know how it is. All it takes is like, well, just this once.
Then
just this once turns into just this hundredth time.
Right. Yeah. That's a great question. So first of all, hopefully the support system that you have at home is supportive and not going, honey, you said you're only going to go one time. Mm. And so, but having a support system at home, that's like, okay, that's great. You helped out, but how are we going to do this next time? So that's helpful. But say you don't have that, attending therapy, honestly,
yeah,
that can be very helpful to really kind of work through what is the need that you're feeling by constantly breaking your boundaries.
Right.
So therapy would be really good. Just a constant like self-care work, you know, of exercise, of meditation, of doing all those things that just is keeping that thought on the forefront that I have to put myself first.
Right.
And that is such often not done with caregivers. I'm going to generalize those of us who are primarily taking care of the kids. I have a great husband. We share in the responsibilities,
right.
but let's just say
you have a vagina. So basically we fall into that category.
So as moms, you know, we tend to whatever you need to get done.
Right.
But just constantly, like if you're participating in your own self-care very regularly, it tends to be easier to set boundaries.
Mm.
But going to therapy,
or even those support groups you talked about.
And those support groups, having a supportive person at home, a friend you can talk to, a support group, just to gently remind you that you need to put yourself first before your parents. And if you can start by setting boundaries, it goes so much better. But I know most of us have a hard time doing that.
Yeah, I see it, like I said, in my family. And I know that, you know, for when it was my grandmother taking care of my grandfather, you know, it was, as you mentioned, the pride of like, you know, what do you think? I can't do it. And you're like, it's not about that. It's that, you know, it's like, why? You know, why should you feel like you have to take, you know, put the cross on your back and walk across the hot sand?
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. And so some of the things I say to people is like, you know, you mentioned your mom and dad are not firing on all cylinders, but I would say to the folks I'm working with, but when your mom and dad were firing on all cylinders, would they have wanted you to give up every aspect of your life to take care of them? Probably not.
Or the thing I flip around on is I'm like, think about what your parents did to you. Right. So like, did your parents, you know, and again, this will probably change. It's because like, if you think about like a lot of millennial parents, you know, their kids, the sun and shine, the sun rises and sets with their kids. But if you think about how we were raised,
right,
your parents did their own thing.
They did.
And so we have to kind of think about it is that like our parents weren't responsible for like every moment of our deep day being scheduled with something.
That's right.
So, you know, the one thing I kind of flip the script is I'm like, your mom did her own thing. So it's okay if you do your own thing from time to time.
Right. And it's actually encouraged.
Yeah. So. Well, because it's like you find, especially if you find yourself, you know, being like shorter tempered because you're just always feel like you're in this like pressure cooker of I have to be there or ready or like, you know, always kind of like in that kind of like, I think it's like battle fatigue. Like you're just always prepared for like, what is today going to be a good day?
Right.
Is today going to be a bad day? Like,
right. And you're always on and you just cannot live like that.
Right.
You just cannot live always on. And so your health will suffer, your marriage will suffer, your kids will suffer. And really your parents don't want that. And if they do want that, that's time to maybe address it in therapy, address it with a good friend, address it in a caregiver support group, because really we launch our children so they can go live their lives.
Right.
And that's really what that's about.
Right. And, you know, it's also, I also think, you know, if you are one of those people who have always been a people pleaser, it of just, you know, feeds right into your wheelhouse.
Exactly. And those are the people that I see, both in my therapy practice and in my coaching practice. The people pleaser, they've done it so long. And so they're trying to figure out a way to break the cycle because they're
burnt to a crisp.
They're just done.
The boundary point was really good. So I think, you know, as we kind of like talk about this, it's like, start having these awkward conversations now. You know, I did a podcast probably about a year ago about wills and estates. And, you know, like no one wants to think about the day that they're not going to be here anymore, but the state doesn't care.
No, they don't. No, no.
The state is like, do you have form 445F? And you're like, I don't even know what the hell form that is.
Right, right. And in addition to that, the ER doctor doesn't care.
Right.
Either. And so when you send your loved one to the ER, they're going to do whatever it takes to save their life, no right. matter the consequences. So, yeah, it's very important to have those, all these conversations about where they're going to live, what they want for their health care, all the things.
Right. And so, I liked how you talked about, you know, the best thing is finding other people who are in it.
Yes.
Because, you know, we all have, you know, friends who care,
mm-hmm.
but they, you know, unless you are in the grind day in, day out, you don't understand. I can listen. I can be a great, you know, sounding board, but sure. I might not be able to. There might be like little tips and tricks that you know about how to get my mom to shower that my friend doesn't even know.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct. And somebody who's been there who understands the isolation part of it.
Right.
So and so understands the need for just, you know, all the things and the tips and tricks. You're exactly right.
Right. Or just someone who, like, if you're sitting there and you're having a really bad day, then you can just text and be like, it's a bad day. And right. they can just, you know, there's something that they could say to you that right. I don't know if I could say it.
Right. That's exactly correct. You don't want to hurt feelings. And the other truth is our good friends tend to not come around anymore. And, you know, it's amazing to me how people could be so ingrained in the community, be such good, you know, just doing all the right things. But when something like this happens, a sickness happens, people tend to not come around.
Well, is it twofold? Is it one that, you know, maybe I am like, you know, you don't need to see this? Or is it that every time I get invited, I might say no or cancel at the last minute because I don't know what's happened? Well, you know, the day of, I don't know if what's going to be happening at home.
Well, I think what I'm talking about is like for people don't come to see.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. So like, is it people like maybe I do come over and maybe I don't want to see it? Or maybe as a friend, or as me being the friend, I don't want you to see it.
Yes. So I think it's the first. Okay. In my experience in talking to folks, it's that they don't know what to say.
Right.
They think they're going to say the wrong thing. It's hard to see someone they love so much in such a hard place. That tends to be what it is. That tends to be what I hear people say, what I've heard caregivers of a person with dementia say to me. You know, their brother used to come around all the time, but he called and told me he just couldn't come because he couldn't stand to see his brother like that.
Gotcha.
And so we understand, you understand, but that's a loss.
Right. It still doesn't make it easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it just increases the isolation. So being connected with someone who gets that part of it is so important.
Right. We talked about isolation. I had another thought in my head, and I usually write it down, and I darn know I did not write it down. medical. All right, I lost it. But yeah, I absolutely loved everything we said. That we talked about boundaries, talked about having those awkward conversations early. That's where it is. I found it. What if, because I know right now I live in Boston. My mom lives in Florida. And, you know, my mom is a very good person because she helps out her 90-something-year-old neighbor. And her children don't live like even remotely close to her.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, I'm just thinking of like when we talked in the beginning about how you kind of see what's going on with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do I, you know, her name is Sylvia. So Sylvia's lucky that she has my mom because my mom sees it.
Mm-hmm.
But if and if Sylvia didn't have my mom, how, you know, mm-hmm. if you live in another state, your kids come, you know, what, two, maybe three times a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. So when you do go visit, I would walk around to the neighbors and get their contact information if that's the type of neighborhood that they live in, and just say, you know, if you see anything out of sorts, if you get worried about mom at all, you know, here's my number here. Please give me a, you know, please give me a call. I would also try to video chat the doctor when your mom is at the doctor.
Gotcha.
So include, be part of that. Be part of that appointment if you can. But definitely when you do go visit, make it really meaningful. Make it like make those connections. Talk about, mom, let's get a house cleaner. And like when she says yes, because we're going to assume that you've strong-armed her into saying yes, you know, make sure like after she leaves the house, you know, from cleaning, you know, you connect with them. How's mom today? How's the refrigerator look? You know, right. kind of prep like things to look for.
Right. So basically, you know, if they live in another state, forge relationships with, you know, hopefully you're able to get a, you know, caregiver or, you know, maybe even a person who comes in a couple of times a week to cook or whatever. Absolutely. To be like, what's up?
Right. I mean, even if you can't do the cooking, maybe sign them up for Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
And like develop a relationship with the area agency on aging. That tends to be the group that formalizes that. Mm. And like, if mom say doesn't answer the door one day, or like you notice that, like if you bring in the food to
and you keep bringing it out,
or you keep bringing it and like none of them's getting eaten,
right?
Some, you know, we need to know that. So right. Like get involved that way. You're definitely still a caregiver even if you don't live right next door.
Right. So, yeah. And I mean, I know that for Sylvia, you know, it's especially given, you know, being in pandemic, that was just like even more of a
right. Her kids are very lucky that your mom is there.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm, you know, as I think about it, you know, you're hopeful that you live in that kind of community, that, you know, mm-hmm. there is someone who kind of will pay attention to the, you know, like, and it's not the obvious things, just the little nuanced things that, you know, like you said, like someone who always used to look impeccable and now they're like,
Right. And so those are kind of the things if you, you know, you talk to the neighbors about, you know, if mom and dad's lawn was always like, you know, you could measure.
Right. It looked like the outfield at Wrigley Field.
Right. And then suddenly it's a hay field, you know, call me because there's something wrong.
Right.
You know, just those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that because I don't, you know, the conversations we're having, I don't think many people have them because it's like, you know, no one wants to think that, you know, your parents are going to get old. Right. You know, it's like, right. It's kind of like the first time you see your parents with like, you know, like really gray hair, you're like, whoa. Like,
right. Or slowing down. Cause I mean, we really do think a lot of us that our parents are like, you know, superhuman.
Right.
They don't live forever. Nothing can ever go wrong. But
yeah. So this has been absolutely everything I've wanted to talk about. And I'm Magic Maker. I hope that you are taking something out of it. You know, I've had like two or three of these like non-fitnessy things, but I see too many of you stressed to the max trying to care for parents, kids, jobs, and all the other multitudes of our complex lives. And so really sit down and take to heart. And the biggest thing like I circled here was boundaries, right? It's kind of like, what are we willing to accept? And what are we not willing to accept? And like, what's our lowest common standards? And I think maybe you need to bump it up one or two, because maybe your lowest common standard is like, I'll burn myself down into the ground.
Right. Oh my gosh. And then you're no good for anyone. And then you're going to be angry and live with regrets. And we can't have that.
So. Right. We can't have that. So Judy, what I always ask everyone who comes on my show I say, what is one thing that makes you feel magical?
One thing that makes me feel magical. So is this the same question if I could have a superpower?
Yeah. Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So I think if I had a superpower, I would like to be the like dream of genie person where I could like, you know, twinkle my nose and all the dishes would be done and all the laundry would be made.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, all that. But I really would like to transport myself to the beach as often as I would like to, or transport myself to the mountains as often as I would like to. Like that would be my superpower. You know, I thought about what I want to see into the future. I don't think so.
No.
Because, yeah, I don't think that. But I think if I could just, you know.
I like the transportation. That's good.
Yeah, like just head to the beach, have an afternoon of relaxation, and then get back to life. Or, you know, head to the mountains for the weekend, like, and not have to spend the time getting there.
Yeah, I like, I want that too.
I know.
That sounds like a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Judy, first of all, if you have to follow her on Instagram, because that's how I found her, because she does these really funny reels. So, yeah. And they're all on aging. So it's really like they're funny, but it's like true funny. Like, you know, it's like real life shit. So Judy, where can people find you on Instagram?
Yes. Yeah. So my handle is @Judy_Burkle_. So love to see you there. Yeah. I have a lot of fun doing the reels. In fact, I would do them all the time, but you know, I have to do other things.
You're like, so damn work.
No, it is fun. It like taps into my creative part and, you know, and I think people can really resonate with like authenticity in Instagram. It's what I really like. Because I'm not a very good dancer, and I'm not, you know, but that doesn't seem to matter. So, like, I enjoy doing it, and I think that's what matters, and yeah. That resonates with people. So, thank you.
Yeah. And where can people, if I want to work with you, where can I find out more information about how you can help me figure out my boundaries and help me find, you know, groups in my area that can really give me that support that I need with my aging parent?
Absolutely. So you can email me at coachjudyburkle@comcast.net. And so that's coach JudyBurkle@comcast.net. I'll be glad to talk to you about the programs that I'm offering. I am beginning this coaching journey. So I'm taking on some clients right now individually, just five. I have five more slots open. And so I was only going to take five. I have five. I'm going to open five more. And so to work with people in this situation for the next couple of months. And then I'm building a bigger program where I'll be able to help more people.
Good.
So yeah, so email me, follow me on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook, Judy Burkle, the same thing. And I have a private group there. So if you page there rather. So if you want to follow me on Facebook, Judy Burkle, LCSW, Aging Parent Coach, would love to see you there. Lots of similar stuff that I have on Instagram. So yeah, those are the ways you can get in touch with me. So thank you. And I really enjoy watching you. I think, you know, fitness is a big thing, but fitness with women over 40, you know, you don't see a lot of folks. And so I love that you're focused there because, yeah, that's me, you know, being healthy and, you know, and just slowing down eating and exercising doesn't always work that way.
No.
Workout, you know?
No, no, not at all. I mean, it, you know, they tell us, they're like, oh, just eat less and exercise more. And you're like, and I'm still overweight. So,
and I'm still like, it's a year of me exercising almost every day, slowing down. And I'm like, this is not working like it should.
Right. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You sold me a bill of goods here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And Magic Makers, reach out to her because I know that, you know, given how I started this podcast, where about 3 people out of 100 raised their hand and didn't have anyone that's dealing with any type of memory issues. if it's not in your family right now, trust me, somebody is going to need your help and support, and start having the conversations. And I keep my fingers crossed. I'm going to knock on my plastic desk that, you know, we all can not have that issue with our parents or someone that we love. And, but if it does happen, have these conversations early, you know, get the paperwork done and just be able to know how you can best support your parents as they age. All right, Magic Makers, I'm out and I will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.